If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. My message title this evening is Wells of Salvation. How many have ever drank from a real well before? You drank well water. I mean, those well water is a little bit different than what comes out of your tap. How many agree? Depends what area you're in. Sometimes it has a sulfur smell. Sometimes it has a rich iron to it. The truth is that it needs to have a little bit of purifying. Now, there are times where I've seen well water be super clear. Drink it just like nothing. Where I live, we actually have well water. You have to treat that water. My wife and I found out the hard way one day. We had a bunch of water to drink, and, well, you know the rest. Amen. So we, even though we got all the purifiers, we got all the triple osmosis, we got all that stuff, it made my body sensitive to that. Amen. But I tell you what, if that was the only water to drink, I'd get used to it. Say amen. How many of those of you out in the desert, yeah, I don't care what it is. How many of those, you need water. Water is a part of life that we need. And just like all of us in here, the Bible says that we have a well or a cistern or a holding container that the Holy Spirit's in. How many of us, we have wells of salvation? Tonight we're going to get into that area that we need to drink deep of what God has. Come on. I don't want to drink just surface water. I don't want to be satisfied with just what flows on the surface. I want to dig deep and have some clear water that's uncontaminated. Are you with me? Now, at my house, I think our well is like 80 feet deep. Where I used to live, it was a little over 100 feet, like 110 feet deep. And I noticed that when they were digging it, I watched them dig it up, and they'd put these casings in. And when the auger came up to get a new pipe, I could see some of the sediment coming up. And it seemed like every area went down. It went through some clay. It went through this. It went through. And then they finally got down to some rock. It was like sandy-looking gravel. And when he pulled up the casing again, he pulled the auger up. All of a sudden, it was like a different shade. And he goes, I found just what I need. Say amen. Amen. A well driller will know where he needs to drill and how far he needs to go down. Can you say amen? Amen. How many of us, Jesus knows exactly what we need, where we need it? We shouldn't be satisfied with just surface water. Now, in Michigan, you can have a shallow well. It really doesn't pump as much, but a shallow well will still produce. I don't want a shallow well in my life. I want things that are deep when it concerns to Christ. In Isaiah chapter 12, are you there? I want to read something to you. Starting with verse 1. It says, in that day, how many knows in that day? That's a future tense, but God's going to bring it home. You shall say, O Lord, I will praise you. How many knows that we can praise him? Though you be angry with me, your anger will be turned away, and you'll comfort me. What I've noticed about Israel is that they were disobedient many times, and the anger of the Lord would be kindled against them, bring correction, and then they would turn. I believe personally we need to thank the Lord when we're disciplined. We should love him just as much when he's disciplining us as when all of a sudden everything is great in our life. Come on. How many of you parents, you know that, hey, your kids didn't like it, but somehow they'll turn out better because of it? Say amen. Anyone left to himself is reduced to nothing. Come on. All of us in this room need the discipline of the Lord. It says, I will praise him. What that means is with one heart, with one mind, and one mouth. The promises that God has given us, that he will bless us, keep us rich and bountiful. When water begins to flow, it always changes the environment. Christians cannot be just dry ground or just a little bit from the tap. We need to have a river of life flowing out of us because the world is dry and thirsty. When you finally tap down into the well, you can give out what you have in you and it will not exhaust. Amen. You can go back to that well of salvation as much as you want and be satisfied. Your life should be satisfied in Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus plus. It's in him we live and move and have our being. Now, I'm not talking about your seed source, your job. Sometimes there's some fulfillment in that, I understand. There's some fulfillment in your family, I understand. But when it comes to wells of salvation, we need to be satisfied in our God. Are you with me? All of us in here need to rejoice and give thanks for the grace of God that's upon us as well as others. Believers need to be taught to be thankful. They need to be taught that turning away from things that displease the Lord is a good thing. That God's favor can be upon. Now, how many saw Jake up here? I believe Jake has a calling on his life. Even as a young person. He has a sense, there's an anointing there. We need that in the church. We need every generation represented, from young as well as old. How many agree there? I need you to be speaking that in prayer. Lord, every generation. Come on. We need to speak that in prayer. Lord, bring in from young and old, every generation, every culture, every person is available to Christ needs to be in his house. Amen? If we don't, we do the next generation a disservice. We have to speak that. We have to pray that. Listen, God can get angry. Do you know that? The Lord can get upset. But his people need to thank him in both. I thank the Lord, not that he's mad at me, but that he is correcting me. That he's not satisfied with me just being lukewarm. He's not satisfied with that. He's not satisfied with me just living a life that's mediocre. He's always bringing me closer. He's always bringing those things. Say amen. Jesus said, I always do what pleases my Father. How many want that as a testimony? Say amen. Look at verse 2. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Yea, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. How many knows the Lord is that? That sounds like a song to me. He's my Savior, but he's my salvation. When it's your salvation, that means you become safe. You're saved, no doubt about it. But he becomes your salvation. I'm saved from my sin, but he's more than that. He is my Savior and my salvation. No matter what I face it with the Lord. We all have to start looking and say, you know what? I have the kingdom of God here. The Holy Spirit lives within me. And since he lives within me, everything that I need to become is already available. How much you want to be like Jesus, you let that life shine out. How much you want to know about the Lord, you let that light shine out. God, I want to know you. Many times we struggle in our minds. We battle there. Sometimes we battle back and forth in the thoughts. Oh, you're all perfect in here. How many ever felt like you weren't even saved sometime? Whenever you hear that, come against that. Because the devil didn't tell you that before you got saved. It's only after. Are you with me? When it says this, we need to silence our fears. Who shall you be afraid of? God supports our hopes. He's there to prepare, preserve me, and protect me. Look at verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you shall draw out water from the salvation. How many knows that's the truth? It says, with joy, you'll draw out water from the wells of salvation. Notice, with joy, you'll draw out. It's like we have that resource, that reservoir here, that I'll draw out that well of salvation. Joy needs to be in the church. It needs to be in our lives. That joy of salvation, when you realize who you are and whose you are, when you start to realize that God is with you, that his love is endless, joy can begin to form in our life. You can look at no weapon formed against me is ever going to prosper. Amen? When I think about the saints that are already home with the Lord, they're not dead. They just passed on. Amen? That's the struggle I have with funerals. You miss them, but they're in a whole lot better place if they're saved. But they're not dead. God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. So they're just continuing their journey with him at their home, our true home. So we occupy until that day. But joy shouldn't come when we finally get there. Joy comes in that well of salvation, that drawing up, that Holy Spirit that's within us encourages us. It also gives us some joy. I mean, I want to have some joy. Man, when you're joyful, you're powerful. When you're joyful, you have energy. Amen? God ensures us that he's with us. He encourages our faith. But it's our duty by faith to draw out water out of those wells. Now, when we were a kid, we had one pump that we had by hand. It was out in the back area. And what we did is it had a real long handle on it. And we'd begin to crank it. And we had to feed all the animals, the cows and the sheep and all that. It's like there are buckets we put on there. And if you primed the pump ahead of time, it made it so much quicker. You dumped a little water down there, you primed it, it sucked it up. All right? I mean, sometimes you got to prime the pump a little bit. Like in the morning, you may not feel like it, but, oh, I'm saved. In the day, I don't have to go to church. I get to go. Sometimes you got to prime the pump. Sometimes you got to talk to you. But I remember one time we had this pump and we're pumping it. We had to fill these big buckets up. Well, we had a little hook right on top of the pump end so you could hang the bucket and then you just go to town. Well, we got good at it that, listen, if one was taking the buckets and moving them, all of a sudden we could keep the water continuous. When the water was continuous, it was so much faster and easier to do everything. Hey, when the water is flowing, make sure you're in it. Come on. How about start it at the door or the parking lot? How about start it when you're at home? The water is flowing. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Amen? I'm going to bring that water of life into the house. It becomes a river after a while, doesn't it? We can't be just a dripping faucet. Come on. Too many people have Dixie cups hoping they're going to get a little bit. No, I want a fire hydrant. Amen? I want us to come in like tankers full. Listen, if you drain out all the water, go back to the source so it can get refilled. Say amen. I love this. In Psalm 87, verse 7, both the singer and the player and the instrument say, all are springs in you. Hallelujah. When we look today, in verse 3 says this, therefore, with joy you'll draw waters, wells of salvation. In his house there needs to be a house of prayer. No doubt about it. Isaiah 56, 7. But in us, we need to have a river of life flowing. When the river begins to flow, it changes everything accordingly. Now, a couple of years ago, the Lord gave me a real vivid vision before I spoke one day. And it was like the stream of water came down into a city. And it was dusty and barren, and it was almost like worthless. The vision I saw in homes were like they were dilapidated. Half the roofs were fallen. The doors were off. There's graffiti everywhere. And it's like when the river began to flow into the city, it's like, you ever seen when it goes from like black and white to color? Have you ever seen that transition? That was a vivid picture I had in my head. That when it came into the city, all of a sudden the grass turned green. And the sidewalks become clear. And then it moved up to the houses and the houses began to be restored. Then all of a sudden the people began to come out and were at awe and wondered of what was happening. Then joy began to be in the streets again. I mean, it's when God moves over a pocket of people, a new joy is going to come. Come on. We need to have that. There's new joy in our family. There's new joy here. We need to speak that upon. People are thirsty. They just don't know what to drink. And sometimes they're drinking something they shouldn't. Amen. How many have tasted and seen that he's good? If you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn to Genesis chapter 26. We're going to flip around a little bit this evening. Hopefully this will be good. Genesis chapter 26. I want to see something about some wells here. Tell me when you got it. We're going to start with verse 15. Genesis 26, 15. You there? It says, and in all the wells which the father's servant had dug, in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped. And they filled them up with earth. I mean, is that the world is, the Philistines are a type of the world. Some Christians are just filled with earth. Earthy things. There's not much spiritual caliber going on. Notice the Philistines had stopped up all the wells that Abraham dug. When I look at wells today, wells need to be redug. Come on. Listen, when people are so filled with self or selfishness, their well is full. Oh, I'm preaching now. Listen, what we have flowing out of us is a river of life. But the world had stopped up the wells that Abraham dug. They were good wells. They served a purpose. They met the needs. But if the church does not take, listen to me, watch over what's happening with the well, it can be stopped up with the world and worldliness. Come on. Can you imagine these wells were used and they were well worn and people knew they were there and there were paths there. But the Philistines came in and they stopped them up. I want people to be unplugged again. Hallelujah. How many knows it takes effort to dig out the earth? It takes some effort to even get carnality out of our life. Come on. The best the world's going to do is stop up your wells. That's why when people leave the Lord, they don't become more fruitful. They become stopped up. Say amen. Say God's good. Look at verse 18. Then Isaac dug again the wells of his father Abraham. And the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their name by name, which is the father had. Verse 19. And Isaac's servants dug in that valley, and they found the well to spring up. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called that name. Now you can help me with that. Esek? Sound good? Because they strove with him. Notice they redug a well. Isaac came along and says, you know what? We need to open these things up. So they dug a new well. That word Esek means this. It means jealous. When you step out and begin to do what is right and dig some new wells, somebody's going to get jealous against you. Somebody's not going to like you having this new water, this new satisfaction. Oh, I'm preaching now. Too often, listen to me, you need to continue to do what is right, but somebody may not like it. Is this good this evening? Listen, when you dig, that means there's effort involved. Listen, God will bless you, and some people will get jealous of that. Maybe jealous because you have something they don't. But notice that the herdsmen begin to quarrel. It seems to me like strife is always nearby when God begins to do something new. Say amen. But here's what I appreciate about Isaac. He says, you know what? I'll dig another well. How many knows you can still dig another well? Come on. How many knows God is good? Look at verse 21. And they dug another well. And they strove for that also. And he calls this name. You can help me with that. Sitna. I looked this up. In Young's translation, it says this. It may be called hatred. Some people won't like anything you do. Now, these words are interchangeable between the two. But the truth is that when you step out again, how many knows the enemy is not going to be satisfied with anything you do? But whether they're jealous or they don't like you shouldn't mean that's why you shouldn't dig a well. Also, anytime you step out in faith, somebody's going to come against that. Because now all of a sudden you're supplying what they always really wanted, but they don't want to go that way to get it. Do you know what? Somebody could have uncorked Abraham's well a long time ago. Instead of complaining about it, why don't you dig it out? Oh, say amen. It doesn't say how long it was plugged. Listen to me. The church just can't go, well, they plugged it up before. That's just the way it is. No. We need to step out and say, you know what? If they didn't do it, we're going to do it. If nobody's going to reach it, we're going to reach it. We can't use the excuse it's plugged up. That's obvious. When it's plugged up, it's good for nothing. Amen? Maybe a lawn monument. But God wants water to flow from that. Come on, we need to pray that church gets unplugged. Say amen. Stop complaining about it and do something about it. How about get a shovel and dig that thing out? Hallelujah. To me, it seems like it'd be easier to dig out something that's already there than something new. At least there's a boundary you can go from, but either way, we'll dig it. Hallelujah. How many here have ever stepped out in faith and somebody didn't like it? Okay. How many ever had somebody be jealous over some things? I definitely have. See, God's good. They strove with him again. Look at verse 22. And he removed from there and he dug another well. How many of those three times is always good? I appreciate about Isaac is that the first one, they strove, they were jealous. The second one, they didn't like it. The third one, you know what? I'm going to dig another one. I appreciate that fortitude. Keep going. Keep digging them. There'll be some things in your life that you'll dig a well for. Somebody else will drink from it and benefit because you've been on the planet. That's still okay. Say amen. It's okay. You can drink from that. Some of your family may drink from a well you dug. That's okay. Let them have it. Are you hearing the word? It's not a territorial thing. Let them have it. They strive with you with that when they want that well. Give them that well too. Jesus said, don't go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Isaac learned this. He goes, listen, I dug this well and water was there. You want it? Fine. You're striving against me? I don't want strife. Fine, take this one. I'll dig again. Amen? When you become a good well driller, you'll find water wherever you go. Hallelujah. Now, the one gentleman that drilled my well, I talked to him for a little bit. He came from out west. And he said, listen, the wells here in Michigan are so easy. He goes, when we got out west, he goes, sometimes it was 400 feet before we found any water. And he goes, we've dug 600 feet to find water. That's a pretty deep well. Say amen. He goes, here, if you go 100 feet, man, that's like half a day for us. Listen, there's enough saturation of the gospel in the United States, in this country, you don't have to go very deep to find Jesus. Amen? We just got to get it down there. Look at verse 22, Genesis 26, 22. And he moved from there and he dug another well. And they didn't quarrel over it. So they called it Reboth, saying this, from now on the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. Somebody say fruitful. Notice they become fruitful in the land. When you dig that well, you know what? You'll be satisfied. And people will begin to enjoy the well. Man, you serve the Lord long enough, he'll even make you ease with your enemies. Amen? They want this? Go, fine. You want the fine. Look, I'm going to dig again. How many of those there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? What happens when all of a sudden now others are benefiting from your life? Does that make you happy or sad? What if they never come back and say thank you for that? They always just take advantage of it. Isn't that okay too? When I look at the Lord Jesus, look how many times he is mistreated, yet he's still a giver. Look how many times people just curse his name, yet he allows it to rain. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. He gives them air to breathe. Some curse them all their life, and even they've been prospered in this lifetime here. The truth is that we serve a good God. But Lord, I want to serve you with the right heart. I want to have that well of salvation go down deep and draw up life. Amen? That when I become satisfied, you know, there's joy in that. And when I found that when you hit the water, you have enough to give everybody around you. Say amen. We shouldn't be barren people. We shouldn't be just scratching by. I got a river of life flowing out of me. How many of us, that's more than enough. We need to start using our faith, saying, you know what? God has given us all a measure. We can use that faith. What do people need? Lord, I want them to be satisfied. Taste and see the Lord is what? Never notice it doesn't say taste and see that he is bad. Taste and see that he is lousy. No, taste and see the Lord is good. Then I start to draw from that. And I've learned that when that water comes up, now when they fired up my well, I was outside. And it was really funny. The guy was pumping water down, and I knew when it goes down, sooner or later it's going to come up. Amen? Well, I thought, man, it's going to be this giant geyser like you see when they hit an oil well. It wasn't quite like that, but he had a small cap on the bottom, but just before he capped it over, it began to blow out like this. I said, man, what are you doing? He says, you know what, I'm purging out the well. Because after I do this, I'm going to lift it up a little bit so it doesn't sit on the bottom, so it doesn't suck up any sediment. How many of us, the Lord sometimes needs to do a purging in our lives? The well's good, the water's good, but man, the piping needs to change. Come on. How many of us, the Lord can do that? You don't want to taste that stuff. We shouldn't offer people stuff that we wouldn't drink either. It's awful quiet this evening. Is everybody thinking? How many of us that, but you can give a fresh cup of cold water, amen? And when it's finally done, there's so much reservoir there that it doesn't run dry. God will always bring what you need. There's reservoirs, there's springs deep within the heart of God that will always fill those areas. You can't exhaust what God has. None of us can. Then, Lord, I want to touch that. I want to taste that. I want to be that. And I also want to offer that. I want to offer that to people. The third well he gave, it says that the Lord made room, be fruitful. God will always make room. Even satisfied others that have no right to it. But if we don't do something about the well, then all we're doing is walking around saying, woe is me. If we don't reach a world, then we just can't say, hey, well, whatever God's going to do, he's going to do. No, he wants to do it through us. He's not willing that any should perish. Never. He is not willing. And since he's not willing, we shouldn't be either. Amen? Every single person on the planet has value. Some things they may do may be totally worthless, but it doesn't make the person worthless. The action may be wrong, but people have value. Are you enjoying tonight? I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. Hallelujah. Tell me when you got it. Jesus talked about at the conversion at the well. And starting with chapter 4, starting with verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. How many knows that? You had Abraham, you had Isaac, and then who? How many knows this well is still around? Oh, I can preach that. Listen to me, we're going to drink from the same resources they drank from. That same spiritual rock was Christ. He was in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. The rock that followed him was Jesus. Oh, isn't that good? Thank God for the Jewish nation. Salvation came because of the Jews. And we got the gospel. Now, if you're a Jew in here, Jewish in descent, amen. Now, Jacob's well was there. Therefore, being wearied from his journey, he sat down at the well. It was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said, give me to drink. For the disciples had gone away to the city to buy things. Then said the Samaritan woman, how is it thou being a Jew ask me, who's a Samaritan, to drink? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and it's he who speaks to you to give you to drink, you would ask him and he would give you what? Now she's going to take it carnal here. She doesn't end the spiritual principle. And the woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. How will you give me this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank himself, his children, and his cattle? And Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never thirst. For the water which I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life. I'm going to stop there. Notice the temporal water, you know what it does. Hot day burns off. But the water that he's going to give is going to well from within up. It shall bring constant satisfaction all the days of your life. The only problem we have right now is this vessel leaks. If you could contain all that God had on a daily basis, it'd be unbelievable. That's why one day you're going to get a new body like an unto Christ. Amen. That sin nature totally purged from you. Isn't that cool? Retain all that God has. So right now we have to keep being filled. Keep those areas up. Keep having that purge. Because I have two natures right now. I have a nature of sin and I have a nature of righteousness. My sin nature didn't go away when I got saved. Now I can crucify that and keep that down, but it's still there. But whatever I feed grows. Amen? Now I want to feed that spiritual nature. Notice Jesus said, it shall flow. It shall well up. How many want it to well up? Come on. Look at verse 15. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I don't have to come here and draw anymore. Notice she still doesn't understand the spiritual principle. Yeah, give me this water, man. I hate carrying these buckets. I hate carrying the water home. It's a lot of work. You got a lot of mouths to feed. That's a lot of water to carry. And notice, why are the ladies carrying the water? Sometimes ladies are mistreated all through society. I'm serious. Oh, nobody wants to say amen. All you ladies should be going nuts. Look at verse 16. And Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, Lord, I have no husband. How many knows it's going to get deep here? How many knows the Lord knows everything about us? And he says, well, I know you've had five. No, you don't have no husband. I know you've had five. And the one you're now with is not your husband at all. All of a sudden, revelation is going to come. The woman perceives, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. You just told me everything about her. I perceive you're a prophet. But one thing I appreciate about her, she wasn't offended. When the Lord reveals something to us, it's only for our edification and comfort. He wasn't trying to blast her because she had so many. He's just speaking the truth. And who knows, maybe five of them mistreated her. Maybe the last one, she said, bag it, I'm not getting married. Well, can I preach like that or no? Oh, no, that's not spiritual at all. How many of us, the Lord knows our life? Now, I don't have time to go through that. I've got to move on from here. But she's going to realize that he is the Lord. Notice that he was drawing from his Father the wells of salvation. And now the gifts of the Spirit needed to be in operation to get this lady's attention. When you're filled with the Spirit, God will allow you to flow into areas that will benefit other people's lives. The giftings don't make you more spiritual, make you think like you're all that. It just allows you to minister God's grace in a more effective way. Amen? He's speaking a word to her. Now she's opening up to the spiritual thing. And now that he knows, and she finally knows that he knows everything about what's going on in her life, all of a sudden the walls begin to come down. We need to be filled with God's Spirit so we can do also, that we can bring to people what they need. They need more than just physical water. They need a well inside of them. Say amen. Later on in the verse, he's going to talk about worship. You must worship in spirit and in truth. She's going to get some incredible revelation that's going to come to this lady that hasn't came to other people. Somebody that may feel worthless or unworthy or maybe even used is going to get a transformation. God will take you from wherever you're at and restore your life. Amen. He'll take broken humanity and say, you know what? I know what you've gone through. I'm here to make it better. How many of us, the church needs to be there? Listen, people that are dry and thirsty today, they just don't know where to drink. Come on. And the enemy will make sure that they think the church is boring or outdated or irrelevant. He's always going to speak those things to them. But when you offer them the truth, the Holy Spirit works on, speaks a word in the situation, they're more tend to open up to what he has. Is this good tonight? Amen. Jesus brings conversion at the well. He always brings conversion at the well. Always. Somebody say always. Always. Flip over a few pages to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I want to look at verse 37. It says, on that last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and what? Drink. Not just stand around and do nothing. When you come to church, you got to drink. If you're so full, you'll go out the same. Now, case in point, how many have ever had to eat multiple meals on Thanksgiving? You had a super meal in the first one, but you know you got to eat a super meal in the second one, or somebody at the second one's going to be mad. How many had to double up? How many are not good at that? You can only eat once and then, I'm just not that hungry. I have a little carrot and one piece of celery or something. I want people to be satisfied because they've done a lot of work to cook that meal. Amen? How many ever felt like, right? Until they break out that pie. Oh, all of a sudden I got room. Don't know how, but there's room somehow left. On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come on, are you thirsty today? Are you thirsty for them? Then come and drink. Come to him. Notice he cries out with a loud voice, if you're thirsty? It's a real good question. Come to me and drink. You'll be satisfied. When God speaks a word, we need to follow that. When you come to church, you come thirsty. If you're already satisfied, there's not much you will take. Amen? Just being on this planet will make you thirsty, but don't whet your appetite with the worldly things. Because spiritual things and worldly things will not mix. Oil and water. Jesus is speaking prophetic words to a woman, saying, yeah, give me that water. I don't want to carry this stuff anymore. Until he's finally got to her and say, look, I'm speaking into your life. Sometimes it takes a little bit because we're thick-headed. Say amen. I mean, sometimes the Lord's got to talk to us for a while till we finally get it. But if you're not satisfied, listen to me, I'm thirsty, your God will satisfy. My preaching will get better when your hearing gets better. Don't put this all on me. Say amen. Come on, Lord, I want to teach. God could speak one word. I could say Jesus, and God could take you down a mile trail with abundance of revelation. When you're thirsty, you start to search those things. They become like deep inside of you. Is this good tonight? Look at verse 38. And he said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart or his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. When Christ Jesus comes in, when you're born again, when the Spirit of God has residence in you, you become a river of life. It's up to us to let it flow. It's already there. You can't get more than the Holy Ghost in you. Come on. And I really marvel at this. You know how vast that Spirit is in you? Enough to contain the Spirit of Almighty God. Have we even scratched the surface of what we possess in this earthen vessel? We haven't even scratched the surface yet. Then, Lord, I want to let that life live through me. Amen? Stop doubting what God can do and start believing He can do it. I really feel if we understand that, that we start to go to another level. Like, why we lay hands on the sick is because you possess so much in there. You got to get some of that out of you. Come on. He's got so much revelation knowledge, he needs to speak it out of your mouth. Come on, we have that in an earthen vessel. Then we have what we need. We can be satisfied and bring the water of life to others. Some will not drink. Some are stopped up enough with earth, they don't want any. The world has filled them up. But you can dig again, hallelujah. Sometimes you got to dig a well for somebody else so they can finally drink of something different. That may take a little time. Here's a well, you can drink it. You want that well? Okay, you can have it. I'm not going to get all ticked up. That's my water. Mine. Can't have it. Nope. That's the best one. That one has the shiniest handle on. I want that one. How many of us we can get possessive like that? Right? No, it's Lord, it's yours. Amen. Remember what time you made it to the third well? No, there was no more strife. I believe God can give you so much, it can even satisfy your enemies. God, I can preach that. Hallelujah. Even those that don't like you can still be satisfied. Say amen. God's good. Words are like deep water. In Proverbs 18, verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are like deep waters. A wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Lord, let me release that area. Well, how do you hear me? You hear me through your gates. Your ears are hearing. You'll see me through your eyes. But the words that speak are spirit and in life. It brings forth those things, so it becomes spirit and life to us. Life to all our flesh. Health to us. Well, our words are no different. There are sometimes we'll fill up our wells or contaminated by what we speak or what we're thinking. Now, it doesn't take much dirt to cloudy the water, does it? How much does it take? Just a little pebble of dirt. I don't want to call it pebble, but just a little chunk of dirt can ruin a whole cup of water. We can't co-mingle. We have to watch what we say, too. Come on, I don't want to give somebody something that's dirty because the first thing usually you do is look at what you're drinking. If you don't, you probably should. Amen? Don't make that mistake like I did in my family. They put their cigarette butts in my Coke can. How many ever tasted a cigarette butt before? It's pretty nasty. Amen? It wasn't long. It was spewing out of my mouth, and I didn't care who saw me spew it. And I was a little kind of, can I say ticked off in church? Is that okay? I was ticked off, and I looked around who was smoking. And I confronted them too. Don't you ever put your cigarette butt in my drink. Is that all right to do? Especially when it's your own family. Get real. Come on. Amen. Don't put cigarette butts in people's drinks. Don't say you love Jesus and hate your brother. He's preaching now. Come on. Don't get all lovey-dovey and say this and behind their back talk evil against them. Well, let me just tell you something about them that you can pray for. Not here. This is a good place. Amen? Say amen. But if God took you on a journey somewhere, maybe it's oh me or I've experienced it. Say, God is good. Amen. Israel did two evils. According to Jeremiah 2, verse 13, they didn't all they did. But according to Jeremiah 2, 13, it says this, for the people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they hewn out themselves cisterns, broken cisterns who hold no water. Listen, we have a vessel. We can't be a cracked pot. Because a cracked pot doesn't do very much. It doesn't hold what it's supposed to. Now, you may have met some cracked pots in your life, but I'm not saying that. Amen? The truth is that we don't need to be a cracked pot. We need to be a vessel that's mended and whole. That's why Jesus doesn't put the Spirit in a broken vessel. He renews the vessel. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. You can't just hold what God has in an earthly thing because it's broken. When the church thinks they can do it on their own, they're wrong. Or if they think they don't need to be born again, they're wrong. You must have new wine put in new wineskins, lest they both break and they become worthless. He's saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, prophesy this. They don't know me as that water of life, and they're broken vessels, thinking they can hold and contain, even contain me. Hallelujah. And Lord, I want to make sure that vessel, being born again is such a privilege. Such a privilege. No wonder the enemy makes fun of it. I've heard it even on a cartoon. Cartoon, it had nothing to do with being born again. They were running it down. It's amazing how the enemy will always try to supplant just something in there. Come on. Every commercial has some supplanted thing there. Well, I need to keep my heart right. Amen? I'm going to make this bold statement to you. If you're a born-again believer, even a blow of life that hurts you deeply will not break your vessel. It may hurt your emotions. Your mind may wander, but your vessel is not cracked. Thank God for that. Amen? Sometimes you got to endure. Sometimes you got to fight even against your own thoughts. No, I'm not thinking that way. No, that's not the truth. Amen? Now I'm going to use this as an example for in this room. I mean, it was Jake here. The Lord has his hand on Jake's life. Amen. I talked to him before service. I said, Jake, I really sense you have anointing on your life. I really do. He says, yeah, but he goes, when I lead worship, he goes, I can just tell the enemy sometimes he's trying to lie to me that maybe I won't do a good job. I mean, that's reality. That's something he's experienced. No, Jake, you're doing a good job. Just keep serving the Lord. I mean, you got to fight through those things. Everyone has those areas. But I've learned that when it starts to flow out of us, it starts to even change our minds too. Because you start to drink what you possess. You taste and see that it is good. That's good. I can trust the Holy Spirit within me. I mean, as you can trust Him. I'll make this to you, all of you here. If you'll pray for skill and ability for God to help you, He'll help you in no matter what field you're in. He said to Daniel, the angel came and said, "This almighty favored man of God, I've come to give you skill and ability." And all of a sudden, God's going to bring abundance of revelation to him. No different here today. Skill and ability needs to be our portion, because this kingdom is greater than all of us. Isn't it? Yeah. It's the kingdom of the Most High God. Then my flesh profits nothing, but the Spirit of God profits with all. So Lord, let me be that person. Change me. Help me. Enable me. And God will do it for any one of us. He'll give us what we need. He'll give us the keys to the kingdom. Is this good?
Yeah.
Come on. Israel forsook the fountain of life. They stored their own water, and not the living water either. In broken pots, they try to handle this. Now picture a broken pot trying to give somebody water. You'll leak it all over no matter what you do. Then, Lord God, I want a vessel that's pure and holy. My vessel, listen to me, can be exhaustively full if I let the pump continue to go. That's why when Jesus, if you look at his example, and I want you to follow this one, whenever he ministered to people, and he did, he would always go back to his Father at the end of the crusade and get refilled. Even if he was tired, he still got refilled. Because when you give out, you have to refill that vessel. Why some people end up being shipwrecked is because they run out of oil and they run out of water. Not that it doesn't possess it, they don't be refilled with it. You'll run for a while, but then sooner or later you'll seize up. I don't want you to seize up. Jesus went back and received again. He says, "I only speak what my Father speaks. I only do what he does." How? He spent time in prayer. Now, you do need time to sleep. And when Jesus sleeps in your boat, it's okay to sleep. When he told them, "We're going over to the other side," he went down to the lower area and he fell asleep. A storm comes along, and they say, "Lord, we perish. Don't you care?" Isn't that amazing? Don't you care? Why didn't they all just go down and get close to him and fall asleep? Because if the boat was going to go down, it was going to go down with him. It would have been the first submarine. But no, when you're up on the top deck and all you can see is the storms, then you're going to get afraid. Get down where the boat where he's at. Amen? And get in the center of the boat. It moves the less. Too many people move away from the things that are stable in Christ. It rocks on the ends. And the storms will beat on every single house. The difference is you may lose a shutter, but you're not losing your roof. Hallelujah. Enjoy tonight. Was tonight good? Come on. I got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk in what? The blind to see. It opens prison doors and sets the captives free. I've got a river of life. Let's keep our vessels pure, amen? The world is going to stop up wells, even great wells. Abraham's well was a great well. Then I'm going to make sure the world is not filling in. Next thing is, I'm not going to complain about the well being filled. I'm going to dig it out. And if somebody wants that well after I'm done, that's okay, you can have it. You're jealous over this, you can have that. I'll dig another one. If they still strive with you and there's still strife, sometimes it firms hatred. No, you can have that one too. Sooner or later, I'll have enough wells. You're satisfied, God's good. We want God. We're at this phase now. I want us to be at this phase where now he can bless and multiply. How many want to see that? That means all of us in here. He blesses and multiplies. Some of you are going to leave some great wells for your kids to drink from. Lord, I pray they drink. Amen. Either way, they're going to be satisfied. Taste and see. Did you enjoy tonight? Did God speak something to you? We need to be serious about this reservoir we have. And I want us all to be prepared. People need a touch. We need a touch. I need a touch. When we have this altar available here, I want Holy Ghost people filled with the Spirit to pray for them. Amen? If you're not sure why somebody is there, it doesn't have to have a great dialogue. You can ask, "Hey, what can I agree with you in prayer?" How many of us, that doesn't take long. I want to agree with that area. Touch that area. Change it in the name of Jesus. Phil's been praying for a young lady and her mom for a couple years now. And this girl's had bad cancer, young girl. Phil just gave me a response. Half the cancer is gone now. The doctors can't even believe it. How many of those prayer works? Even the doctor said, we don't understand what's going on. How many of those God is still God? Amen. Then we need to have that. Amen? If somebody's thirsty and people are thirsty, they need to be able to drink from our life and be satisfied with the goodness. Watch what you say out of your mouth so you don't put some dirt in that pure water. Amen? Lord, put a guard there. I don't need to speak that. Sometimes you may think it. Don't even think it. I just don't want to say it. I don't even want to think it. How many want to go to that level? Jesus didn't even think evil, even when he was railed upon. I know when I don't think it or speak it, it's not in me. Change it, God. Amen? Amen. Is God good? Do you fill your vessel up? Amen? What you bring will be full. Bring a tanker with you. Not a Dixie cup, bring a tanker with you. Amen? I want you sloshing, because I know this vessel's imperfect. I want you sloshing when you leave. Amen? I want the hallway just full of water because it's there. Amen? And I've learned if I keep my mouth shut, I don't leak as fast. Say amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you would lift your hands. Father, a blessing upon this congregation. Lord, that we got a river of life within us. And Lord Jesus, you had opposed, Lord, those that have cisterns that are broke, holding vessels that hold nothing. Lord, the world will always try to stop up the well of life. But God, we can dig a new one. Hallelujah. And Lord, we can dig enough that others can be satisfied too. Because Jesus, there's enough water to go around. Lord, we taste and see you are good. Father, put a guard upon our lips that, Lord, we don't pollute that which is pure. And Lord, let it flow from us, Lord, like you spoke to that woman at the well. You were bringing life to her. Lord, every conversation was bringing her closer to that revelation knowledge of who you really are. Father, help us to answer all men. Lord, in our own families, Lord God, help us to put just enough salt to season it, but Lord, not to make them gag in the name of Jesus. Teach us, Lord, to be patient. Lord, when to speak and when not to. When to step forth and when to hold back. Help us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray, Lord God, that we'll bring to this thirsty world a new drink. Something they've never tasted before. Jesus, you are wonderful. Enable us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Amen.